I didn't have the best chance. I had a chance. But then after I went out and hit the 140 kilo dumbbell, which was a 13 kilo PB for me, I sort of knew it was on from there.
Welcome to the Bar Bend Podcast, where we talk to the smartest athletes, coaches, and minds from around the world of strength. I'm your host, David Thomas Tao, and this podcast is presented by barbend.com. Today, I'm talking to Canadian strongman, the first Canadian strongman to ever win World's Strongest Man, Mitchell Hooper. He is the 2023 World's Strongest Man. I actually talked to him while he was driving back to Toronto after that event. And wow, has he had a fantastic first couple years as a professional in the sport. Mitchell's rise to the top ranks of elite men's open strongman might be the fastest we've seen in history. Mitchell joins us again. He's actually been on the Barbend podcast before. I'll link that in the show notes to talk about what this means for him. The media circus he's been on a week after winning World's Strongest Man in South Carolina, and much, much more. I hope you enjoy. Mitchell, congratulations. It feels like just yesterday we were talking a little bit about your strongman career, your rookie year at World's Strongest Man. I think it's less than a year later, and now I'm talking to the World's Strongest Man. So first off, congrats. Has it sunk in yet?
Not really. No, it's come quite quickly for me in the whole pro strongman scene. So I don't think I had enough time to digest everything around how this would feel. It's certainly a little bit slow, but I'm happy for that to be a slow burn and make me happy for a long time.
Well, how long is the off period you get before you're back to training? I'm hoping you're taking are you taking like a vacation? Is there anything that like, is it a relaxing period or are you just like right to the media circus?
No, basically right to the media circus. You gotta get in while people are interested. They'll only be interested for so long, to be honest. So yeah, I'm driving back right now to Toronto. I'm back at work tomorrow. No vacations for us until November. But training's always my break from life. So I still went in. I still trained yesterday, but it's obviously very different. I'll probably be another week or so until I do anything too intense.
I think that makes sense. Okay. I got to ask, you posted a video that was 24 hours with the World's Strongest Man trophy, or 24 hours as World's Strongest Man. And I think it was a little satirical, but are you actually sleeping next to the trophy? Be honest. Come on.
It's very close to me. It's not in the bed. It would feel like infidelity, but it's very, very close.
It's spicy. Spicy. I'll let people think about that one and use their own imaginations. It's always a dramatic week at World's Strongest Man, following along very closely. I was not on the ground there. We had people from Barbend on the ground. But to say, you know, this was not a come from behind victory. You had a pretty commanding performance out of the qualifying stage. You established a lead early on in the finals. And really, it was kind of your lead to maintain. I feel like it was a little bit like Tiger Woods at a Masters tournament or at a major, you know, kind of the red shirt going into Sunday. How did it feel going into the final day of competition, knowing that you were in pole position?
Well, I was in pole position, but the three events that came up on day two, they are a particular challenge to me. So I historically have not been good at heavy dumbbell pressing. That was the event one, was dumbbell max. So prognosis wasn't great there. Then the bus pull, the only other time I've done that in competition, I came 8th out of 10. And then Atlas Stones last year, I came 9th out of 10. So it looks from the surface like I would be very happy, but I was hoping to be a couple more points ahead going into day two. And to be honest, I didn't have the best chance. I had a chance. But then after I went out and hit the 140 kilo dumbbell, which was a 13 kilo PB for me, I sort of knew it was on from there.
Well, congratulations on the personal best. I know heavy dumbbells are something that you've been drilling a lot in training and posting a lot about on social, because that's a particular, I don't want to say weakness, because you're still elite at it, clearly, and I think you've made a lot of progress. But was that something specifically you were tackling in the offseason and leading up to the competition? And were there any other specific weaknesses that you were drilling and training, you know, every single week just to shore up your abilities and bring it up to par?
Yeah, well, after I came 8th out of 10 on the heavy dumbbell at Rogue, I took a bit of an Olympic-style approach to it and did lots of days of 10 sets of two at very light weight and tons of drilling that. And then as we got closer in the competition, we basically focused all of my energy on the things that I hadn't been successful at in competition before or hadn't done much in competition before. So worked very, very hard on the truck pull, worked extremely hard on the dumbbell, and I ended up winning the two events that I was most concerned about.
That's a way to turn the negative into a positive. I want to talk a little bit about your rapid progress in the sport, which we talked about last year. I think last year you were almost exactly 4 years out from running marathons, right? And then we kind of talked about your transition into the sport of strongman and your very rapid rise in the sport. Your training age in the sport is, your training age overall is fairly high. You've been an athlete most of your life. Your training age in this particular sport is a bit lower than most of your competitors. Do you feel like you're able to make quicker gains because of that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like I trained for strongman for a decade before I actually trained any of the implements. So I think I had a lot of the base there to do what I do now. It was just being able to expose it with a bit of use for the implements. But to your point, I think I still, with my training age in the sport being fairly young, I think I still have a fair way to go until I'm at my best.
That is a scary, scary statement for the rest of the men's open field, I'm sure. I do want to talk a little bit about an interview that was posted that you did with Big Laws last year, where he made a bold prediction that you were going to win it all this year. And you sort of laughed it off. I mean, Mitchell, you're a very nice, you're an extremely friendly guy. I know that from experience. Along with that goes, you know, a good sense of humility and a good dose of reality and objectivity. And when he mentioned that last year, that interview, you kind of laugh it off a little bit. You're like, that's a bold prediction. Did you think at the time that you had a real shot to be this year's World's Strongest Man? Or did you think it was still a few years out?
Yeah, that was after Rogue. And at Rogue, I came third.
Oh, sorry, that was after Rogue this year. My apologies. Or Rogue last year. Okay, got it. I got it. Calendars are a thing.
You're right. And I lost to Lexi and Trey. I had never beat Trey before. I'd also never beat Brian before or Tom before or Luke before. So there was a lot of reason to give pause to the thought that I was going to win. But Laws is also a very honest guy. And so when he says that he thinks you can do something or thinks you can't do something, you know that that's true. So if someone like that is telling you that you're going to win next year, the confidence sort of builds in yourself as well.
Let's talk about performances over the weekend that really impressed you or pushed you. Were there any, obviously we can look at the leaderboard, right? We can look at Alexi, we can look at Tom, we can look at Trey and Evan coming in with the same number of points at the end of the finals. Were there any particular athletes who drove you over the course of the week or even in the finals competing alongside them? I mean, it was Brian Shaw's last World's Strongest Man appearance. Anyone that was just kind of really nipping at your heels or you felt was?
Well, Tom, whenever you have an event that ends in Atlas Stones and you're going head-to-head with Tom, you can never sort of pass him off. Now, in terms of performance, like, he underperformed slightly on... Well, we went head-to-head on the shield carry first, and then I, in a very epic battle with the shield, ended up inching past him when he thought that I was down about 10 meters before. Then in the deadlift, he slightly underperformed. But after that, he hit, I think, a 15 kilo, 20 kilo maybe PB on the dumbbell. And so he was coming to play there. And then in the truck pull, there was a whole group of guys at 32 seconds. And Tom was going before me on the truck pull, like directly before me. And Tom then pulls out a performance to be put in first. And so if I was a couple seconds slower on the truck, he would have been up ahead of me. And then head to head with him on a stone run, it's always intimidating when you got the best in the world straight across from you. And you're sort of trying to keep up with them. So yeah, he's a phenomenal athlete, and to be able to come out on top over him is pretty meaningful.
One other thing I want to talk about. I do want to talk about some of your broader goals in athletics and life, which we mentioned last year, and I think it's a really good time to impact that. But when you finish the Stones, the final event at World's Strongest Man, you knew you had won. You threw your arms up in celebration. You were clearly impacted emotionally. And your wife, is it wife or fiance?
Fiance. Soon to be wife.
Fiance. Oh, I'm skipping ahead. God, I always do that. She comes up and gives you a big hug. And you did the most conscientious thing I think anyone who's just won a world championship has ever done, in that you lifted your arms so you wouldn't cover her in stone tacky.
Yeah, I still, it's funny, when it comes to her, I'm still such a normal person. So even though I just won World's Strongest Man, I still know that she would hate to get the tacky on her shirt.
I remember I watched that video probably 10 times, and it took me until like the third time, and I was like, wait a minute, I see what he's doing. He's making sure he doesn't get her clothes dirty, because you can't get that tacky off of normal clothes. I was like, that is so thoughtful. Like, who else would have the wherewithal to do that?
Pictures that look like I'm just celebrating and she's hanging off of me, but I'm just trying to keep my arms as far away from her as possible.
It was a very koala bear moment, right?
Absolutely.
You're like a tree and she's just hanging, all her limbs are just hanging off you. What did you two, if you're willing to share, what did you two talk about in the moments immediately after that? Obviously she's seen the work that's gone in, she's seen the sacrifices you've made more than anyone, perhaps. You know, was there anything specifically that she told you, or words that you were exchanged, that are kind of cemented in your memory?
Well, she told me before comp started that she was going home with the winner, whoever that was. So hopefully. But she just jumps up, and there's a couple of angles, a couple of videos that you can see. She just screams that we did it. And then just kept saying how proud of me she was. But it's very much a team type of thing. And the we did it statement is like, she's as much a part of my success as I am, because I wouldn't be able to do the things I do without her. So it was just... I was the one performing, but it was a big joint win. Definitely a lifelong memory, that.
And it's nice to have those lifelong couples memories recorded by dozens of media outlets. You don't have to pay for a photographer or videographer to celebrate those moments if you're doing it at a competition. There you go. That's a way to kind of like, that's my cheap brain kicking in. I do want to transition a little bit, because one thing that really impacted me when we talked previously was the fact that for you, or at least it was last year, your success in this sport is really just a way to build, or as you stated, I might be paraphrasing here, my apologies, is a way to build a platform to reach more people and impact more people through health and movement. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that, to talk about if that has evolved, if so, how, if not, you know, what is the ethos behind that and behind that goal?
It's evolved in a way, for sure. I think my goals have shifted a little bit more to my ability to grow the strength community. I think I would add that as a point of clarity, that growing strongmen is 100% aligned with those goals.
I appreciate that clarification. What do you think should change about the sport of strongman if you could wave a magic wand and change it over the next few years?
Do you know, it's a sport that's treated me so damn well. It's hard to think.
Yeah, I'm talking to the person who said like the most rapid rise in the history of professional strongman. So yeah, you might be actually the worst person to ask this question, but I'm still going to ask it.
Yeah. Oh man. I think, you know, the root of strongman is you just get out there, pick up something random, pick however heavy it is, whatever shape it is. So I think continuing on with things that are odd shapes and back to the root of the sport, where we might not be told the exact weight of something, we might not know exactly what's happening, we might not know the implements that we're loading, of course within safe reason, but I hope that part of the sport is retained, I suppose, over time.
Let's talk a little bit about your professional life. You mentioned training for you as an escape from life. You're a busy guy with... like maybe basically more than one full-time job, it seems, beyond competing in strongman. Talk a little bit about your practice, if you don't mind. When we chatted last year, you were just kind of getting established in a new location. How has that evolved? How have those professional goals, or at least in that professional sphere, that part of your life, how have those goals shifted or evolved at all?
The clinic is going very well. I've got someone who runs it for me, make sure that that I can dedicate time to strongman. Yeah, that's I'm very, very proud of that and where that's gone. Basically, what we do is we exercise people in unique circumstances, whether that's a chronic condition, whether it's chronic injury, or say just someone who needs an educated eye, they might be on medications, anything like that. And we provide a safe environment for them to exercise in with university-educated staff so that they can feel comfortable and they can get themselves moving under a watchful eye.
Do you think that you're going to get a lot more inbound patient requests because of the fact that you're the current world's strongest man?
Yeah, it could do. I mean, it's all a bit indirect because it's quite funny. Some people would rather not train with me because they think that I'm going to try to turn them into a strong man and that's my own expertise. And but yeah, I mean, the leverage that I gain from strongman to be able to impact my community, because everyone's going to know who I am now, I assume, in my hometown. And so if they know who I am, then they know what I do. That has an obvious commercial return and health return for that person.
I like the idea of someone coming into your clinic, just looking to move a little bit better, live a higher quality of life, and then like accidentally putting on 100 pounds of muscle and labbing 400 pound stones.
Yeah. Despite the fact that there's no Atlas stones or logs or any strongman equipment in there, we would work it out somehow.
You're gonna turn people into strength monsters. I just wanted to be able to be a little bit more independent. Sorry, buddy. Yeah. You're doing 100 kilo dumbbells. That's what's happening now. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that you are the first Canadian to hold the title of World's Strongest Man. What does that mean to you?
That's crazy. I mean, there's been so many great Canadian strongmen before me, and I hope they see this as an extension of the work that they've done, the platform that they've built in Canada, from JF Garand to Hugo Girard, all the way back to Louis Cyr. The history of strength in Canada is very, very strong. And to be a small continuation of that by being the first one to win Worlds and the first one to win the Arnold, I think it's just a recognition of where the country is getting to in terms of strength sports.
Yeah, you've definitely, you're holding simultaneous majors in the sport of strongman. And I have to ask, you know, do you have your sights set on Rogue for later this year?
Well, I think the grand slam for strongman is the Arnold, Worlds, the Shaw Classic, and Rogue Invitational. So I think we have four, where I got the Shaw Classic first. And if I could do those four, that would be arguably the best year in strongman of all time.
I would say so. And I have to say that the Shaw Classic has, I think you're totally right. I think it is such an elite test of strength. And it's a competition that's not even 5 years old, and it's already being talked about as the sports major. I think that's a real testament to the impact of Brian Shaw, the organization he and his team and the work he and his team have put into it. What is it about the Shaw Classic that you think has allowed it to, in just a few short years, be talked about as one of the sports majors?
Well, I think Brian himself, anything that he does has an air of perfection to it. For athletes, we're treated really, really well on a couple of fronts, one of which is we've got all pre-made food ready for us when we get there. Another of which is there's a lot of consideration given to our health and safety in terms of the speed of the show and things like that. Then he chooses very good events to test your strength. And then when it comes to payouts, usually in strongman, you make great money if you come first. Okay, if you come second or third, and then it's virtually nothing if you're lower than third. And Brian really spreads it out a lot more. So if you go, you know you're going to get a payday, even if you don't perform incredibly well. So it decreases the risk of going.
Certainly a very thoughtful organizational aspect there. And Brian puts in, you know, two decades of experience when it comes to figuring out how athletes want to be treated and how to optimize their safety. Last kind of realm of questions I want to ask, looking ahead, I mean, You're the Arnold champion. You're the world's strongest man champion. You're going for the perhaps the first ever strongman grand slam with four events in a calendar year. What are your future goals beyond that grand slam as a pro strongman?
Do you know, Laws asked me that yesterday, and I'm actually taking time to think about that exactly, because I won this a lot faster than I thought. And I thought that if I won this, I would lose, a bit of fire towards the sport. But there's fire still there, because for me, I just have so far to go. And so I've accomplished as much physically as I can. So I'm not sure it'd be titles based, but it would be certainly something to do with influence and something to do with if I believe that I'm at my best.
And from earlier answers, it seems to indicate you don't think you're anywhere near your peak.
No, it doesn't feel that way. I mean, who gets to the absolute peak in a sport a couple of years after starting in it?
Yeah. I really appreciate your time, Mitchell. I know you are busy with the ultimate media circus in strength, probably the biggest media circus in strength. I will ask, is there anyone that has interviewed you or approached you for interviews or talked to you or reached out to you that really surprised you? You're like, wait, they're paying attention? They want to talk to me?
Yeah. I mean, I've been on all the national news in Canada. There's an 8-page spread going in a British magazine about me. There's a German television channel who asked if they could take some pictures for the promotion. I think it's just the no individual person, but just the widespread reach of how many people from many different outlets are interested in this.
It's a heck of a title. It's well deserved. Something you put a lot of work into, something that people who support you, including your fiance, made a ton of sacrifices for. And I'm incredibly excited to see what you do with this when an international spotlight is on you. Mitchell, I super appreciate your time. I know you're busy in this media circus. It means a ton to me. It means a ton to the Barbin readers and listeners that you took the time to chat today. Godspeed, and hope when that vacation actually comes in November, you get to enjoy it after a very busy and successful year, my friend.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thank you very much for having me.